Imagine standing on the deck of a massive ship, sailing through a perfect storm. The waves are colossal, driven by immense power, but the horizon ahead is shrouded in uncertainty. That is the strategic position of Alphabet, Google's parent company right now. They're at the epicenter of the most significant technological gold rush since the internet's inception, the artificial intelligence supercycle. We're not talking about a modest wave of innovations here. We're talking about a trillion-dollar tsunami of capital, excitement, and disruption. And Google, under the leadership of CEO Sundar Pichai, is not just riding it. They are actively shaping its trajectory. But here's the paradox. While Google is pouring tens of billions of dollars into this future, Pichai himself is simultaneously issuing a clear cautionary alarm about the market's irrationality. It's a dual mandate strategy. Exhilarate relentlessly while preparing for an inevitable correction.
You're listening to Nelson John 360.
Nelson John 360.
Hey guys, welcome to Nelson John 360. I'm your host, Nelson John. Today, we are pulling back the curtains on this sophisticated maneuver. We're synthesizing Google's AI doctrine, examining its full-stack infrastructural moat, its aggressive Gemini-era productization, and its proactive strategy to manage the profound societal and physical hurdles that the AI revolution has created. This is a story of strategic reliance, capital warfare, and the pursuit of long-term dominance in an era of unprecedented volatility. Get ready, because we're diving deep into the mind of a market leader and uncovering the blueprint for how a technology giant intends to not just survive, but govern the AI age. Let's start with the mindset. To understand Google's strategy, you have to understand the philosophy of its leader, Sundar Pichai. We are calling this the Pichai Doctrine. The current tech landscape is defined by a dichotomy. On one hand, you have unprecedented capital investment, and on the other, you have the looming threat of a market bubble. Pichai has taken a stance that is quite rare for a CEO in the middle of a boom: cautious realism. He has publicly warned of, quote-unquote, elements of irrationality in the current market. When a CEO of a company this size uses the word irrational, you need to pay attention. He's acknowledging that the fear of missing out, FOMO, is driving valuations to prices that logic might not support. He has explicitly stated that if a market correction occurs, if the bubble bursts, in his words, no company is going to be immune, including us. He strategically invokes the dot-com era as a historical parallel. Why? Because it serves a dual purpose. First, it prepares his investors for a shakeout. The dot-com crash, well, it was brutal. Companies vanished overnight. But bringing this up, he's managing expectations. But the second purpose is more important. He contrasts the market speculation with the technological reality. Pichai argues that while the dot-com investment was excessive, the internet itself was profound. As he put it, none of us would question whether the internet was profound. I expect AI to be the same. This is the core of the doctrine. The market may crash, but the technology will endure. Google is positioning itself to treat a potential recession not as a failure, but as a clarifying moment, a storm that will wash away the weaker competitors, leaving only the giants standing. Now, before we look at how Google plans to survive, we need to understand what they are surviving against. Yes, what they're surviving against. What exactly is this AI bubble everyone is whispering about? Now, a bubble happens when the price of an asset, in this case, AI company stocks, detaches from reality. It's driven by hype. Right now, we have two key ingredients fueling this. One, massive investment. We're seeing a capital injection that is staggering. Pichai estimates the industry-wide investment is well over $1 trillion. The second point, the hyper circle. This spending is fueled by the belief that AI will generate immediately massive profits. The fear is that these investments won't generate returns fast enough to justify the cost. If that realization hits, stock prices tumble. This is the burst. If this happens, we will see a market correction. We will see corporate bankruptcies. We will see job losses. But, and this is critical, Pichai believes that companies like Google are better positioned to weather this storm. Why? Because they aren't just building software. They're building the foundation of the future economy. Now, this brings us to Google's primary defense mechanism. Any guess? Infrastructural supremacy. Yes, infrastructural supremacy. In the world of AI, you cannot separate the software from the hardware. To dominate, you need to control the full stack. This means owning everything from the chip that does the calculations to the data centers that houses it to the model that runs it. The full stack, basically the full stack, yeah. Google isn't just spending money. They are engaging in capital warfare. Their annual spending on infrastructure has surpassed $90 billion. Let that sink in, $90 billion a year. This isn't just an operational cost, okay? It's a barrier to entry. By raising the stakes this high, Google basically is structurally limiting the number of competitors who can even afford to play the game. They are turning the AI boom into an infrastructure-intensive contest that only a handful of hyperscalers can survive. Now, a primary example of this is their custom silicon. While everyone else is scrambling to buy chips from NVIDIA, Google has quietly been building their own for years. Their seventh generation Tensor processing unit, TPU, codenamed Ironwood, is a beast. Let me tell you, this chip isn't designed for general computing. It's engineered specifically for thinking and inferential AI workloads. What I mean by inference is the process where the AI actually answers your question. It is incredibly expensive to do at scale. The Ironwood pods deliver a staggering 42.5 exaflops of compute. By owning this hardware, basically Google can lower the cost of running these models significantly. They call this the Pareto frontier, delivering the best performance at the best price. This economic advantage is what allows them to serve AI to billions of users without going bankrupt. Now, that's a luxury many of their competitors do not have. Now that we've established the defense, the infrastructure, let's look at the offense, the product. Google has declared this the Gemini era. The strategy here is defined by one word, velocity. In a market where competitors like OpenAI and Anthropic are releasing updates constantly, Google has shifted gears from a cautious research lab to a relentless product factory. They are re-architecting their core services, the crown jewels of AI. Take Google Search. They have rolled out AI overviews to over 1.5 billion users across 200 countries. Now, this is a fundamental shift from organizing the world's information, giving you links, to synthesizing the world's information, giving you answers. You see what's happening? They've introduced a new AI mode for search, and the data is fascinating. Early results show that queries in AI mode are 2 to 3 times longer than traditional searches. Well, people aren't just typing keywords anymore. They're having complex conversations with the engine. They are demanding expert-level assistance. But here is Google's true secret weapon. The moat that no one else can easily cross. Personal context. With user permission, the Gemini models can reach across the entire Google ecosystem. Your Gmail, your Docs, your Drive, everything. Imagine the personalized smart replies feature in Gmail. You know, it doesn't just generate a generic, thanks, sounds good. It searches for your past emails, learns your tone, understands the context of the project, and drafts a reply that actually sounds like you. This creates data gravity. Once an AI knows your life, your work and your style this intimately, switching to a computer feels like a lobotomy. It becomes a functional downgrade. This deep ecosystem integration is how Google plans to lock in users for the long haul. However, a strategy of this magnitude, it creates a massive shockwave. Google isn't operating in a vacuum. They're operating in a physical and societal reality that imposes constraints. Now, Pichai's doctrine involves proactively managing these externalities. The first major constraint is physical energy. I'm sure we are all aware that AI is hungry, power hungry. In 2024, AI systems already accounted for an estimated 1.5% of global electricity consumption. Projections suggest that by 2030, this demand could skyrocket to 200 gigawatts. Now, to put that in perspective, that is roughly equivalent to the annual electricity consumption of the entire country of Brazil. Wow. And Pichai has been candid. These immense energy needs are going to delay Alphabet's climate goals. You cannot build the future without power. Their counter strategy, massive investments in new energy sources like nuclear, geothermal, and renewables. They're racing to build the power plants that will feed the data centers and that will run the AI. The second constant is societal, the job market. Pichai, again, has been direct. AI will cause societal disruptions, he says. But he reframes the narrative. It's not just about blue-collar automation. He notably asserted that a CEO's job might be one of the easier things for an AI to automate one day. Well, his message to the workforce is simple. Adapt or fall behind. The professionals who learn to collaborate with AI, whether they are doctors, lawyers, or coders, will outperform those who don't. Google, well, is positioning its tools not as a replacement, but as an essential collaborator, trying to soften the blow of the inevitable labor market shift. Finally, we will have to look at the regulatory landscape. In the past, tech companies often tried to outrun regulations. Google is taking a different approach this time, proactive engagement. They are treating regulation as a strategic tool to de-risk their business. Pichai has repeatedly warned that users should not blindly trust AI, admitted that models are prone to some errors and hallucinations. Now, why would he admit this? It's a liability shield. By managing expectations, they reduce the risk of backlash when AI makes a mistake. Google is championing a regulatory framework based on parity in expectations. They argue that AI shouldn't be held to a standard of perfection, but rather compared to human alternative. Now, if a human doctor makes mistakes 5% of the time and an AI makes mistakes 3% of the time, the AI is an improvement, even if it's not perfect. They are pushing for sectorial regulations, rules specific to healthcare or finance, rather than a broad blanket law that would slow down the entire development of the core technology. Now, by helping write these rules, Google ensures the regulatory environment is stable, predictable, and compatible with their business model. So let me try and synthesize all of this. What is the Alphabet AI doctrine? It's a strategy of balance and brute force. On one side, you have the brute force, the $90 billion annual spend, the custom Ironwood silicon, the massive data centers, the relentless rollouts of Gemini to 1.5 billion users. Google is using its sheer size and wealth to build a fortress that competitors cannot simply storm into. On the other side, you have the balance, the cautious management of the bubble philosophy, the admission of irrationality, the proactive shaping of regulation. It's a realistic approach to energy and workforce disruption. Sundar Pichai is betting that by controlling the infrastructure, owning the user relationship through personalization, and effectively managing the external risks, Google can survive the coming market correction and emerge as the operating system of the AI age. The test, however, will be economic. Can they convert that massive infrastructure spending into high-margin revenue? Can they make agentic AI software that actually does things for you, valuable enough that we all pay for it? Now, that's the trillion-dollar question of the Gemini era. I'm Nelson John, and you're listening to my podcast, Nelson John 360. I hope this deep dive into Google's strategy has provided you with a new framework for understanding the future of technology. My mission here is simple: to bring you highly detailed, unbiased knowledge. If this episode added value to your understanding, if it gave you that 360-degree perspective that you were looking for, I ask you for one crucial favor. Please take a moment right now to follow our show on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you are listening to. Share this episode with one person you think needs to hear this analysis. And most importantly, please leave a rating, possibly a review. These actions are the fuel that keeps the show running. They boost our visibility, help new listeners discover this community. And frankly, they're the greatest motivation for me to keep researching these complex topics and bringing you more high-value episodes that truly benefit. Thank you for being part of the Nelson John 360 community. In the meanwhile, you can also follow me on Instagram. Just look me up, Nelson John 360. I'll be back soon with another deep dive. Until then, keep questioning the world around you. Stay safe, stay smart.